Right, and he's like, you walk into a bar, any bar in Knoxville.
It's playing.
You walk in, boom, Mo Bamba. You go up to the bar, you get a beer. 5 minutes later, you drink like half of that beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. You finish that beer, you go to the bathroom, you go back to the bar to get another beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, and Mo Bamba.
What's that song called again?
Mo Bamba.
Hour two of overtime coming at you live here from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. 1 hour down, one more remaining here until it is time for your weekend. So excited here as always, but we got business to get to here as we take you up until 8 o'clock tonight. Spent all of hour one talking about today's SEC Media Day's preseason predictions. Georgia, Alabama, of course, predicted to win their respective divisions. Alabama gets 203 first-place votes to win the SEC championship. Tennessee picked to finish fifth in the East ahead of Kentucky and Vanderbilt, right behind South Carolina and Missouri. They also predicted Florida to finish second behind Georgia in the East. Ran through the preseason all-SEC teams as well. Only one Tennessee Volunteer on all of the SEC preseason teams, and that is Marquez Callaway, who makes the cut as a second-team return specialist. And that's it. There's no Daryl Taylor, no Bryce Thompson, no Nigel Warrior, no Juwan Jennings, no Ty Chandler, none of it. Oh, well.
Feels like something's missing.
Yeah. Just make sure you're on the postseason list. Make sure you're on the postseason team. That's all that really matters. You're not going to get accolades for being predicted first-team preseason. I mean, you're just not. All it is a tool for predicting which players you think will be the best at their position. That's all it is. Also told you about today's daily Mount Rushmore. We did the Mount Rushmore college mascots who are not Smokey. Because obviously Smokey's going to make the top of all our lists, so we had to exclude him. He's still the best boy. Don't ever forget that.
The goodest boy.
Absolutely. Now we're getting into it again. And hour number two here. College Game Day has announced their week one filming location. Man. Once you hear about College Game Day announcing their locations for week one, you know it's coming.
You can't help but get excited.
Oh, it's around the corner. And we'll be coming to your center.
If you didn't know, that's the intro song to College Game Day.
God.
Performed by Tanner.
What is zing and some zang zang? What? I never never understand it. And they've remixed it so much. Well, it's got Big and Rich, Cowboy Troy. Who else is in it now? You got Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm. I'm sure is still doing it. Very weird. Just take it back to Big and Rich. But still, they are coming to your city, and they announced the week one location here. No shocker here. It's going to be for week one. They're going to go to a neutral site. You always had the big week one neutral site kickoff games. And what many people are thinking is going to be the best of these matchups, it is Auburn versus Oregon at Jerry World, Arlington, Texas. Went there last week. It's as big as you think it is in person. Absolutely a gigantic complex. So Auburn will be taking on Oregon when the season kicks off August 31st. Oh, it's just over a month away. It's going to be a 7:30 primetime showdown. It's going to be a rematch of the BCS championship game from January 2011. Cam Newton's Tigers took down the Ducks 22-19, had that walk-off field goal. His time expired.
That was a good game.
It's a pretty great game. So you got the rematch here. Top 25 matchup. Both teams probably going to be ranked in the 10s, 15, something like that. They're both going to be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very good. Yesterday, ESPN announced it here. I said, hey, Auburn football and Oregon football, see ya week one. Oh! How excited are you for that? Do you think they picked the right game, Will? Because there's some other games they could have chose. I'm definitely glad they didn't do anything stupid and choose Alabama, Duke, and Atlanta. I don't know how you could have sold that one.
Can you read off is there a lot of good games or any real good games that you know of on that week one slate?
Let me get them up here. I can already predict some of like their week two and three matchups. I know week two or three, whichever week LSU goes to Texas, they gotta be.
Yeah.
Like they have to be in Austin for that one. That one's going to be too big. Well, of course, they got Miami versus Florida in week one here, even though that's week zero.
Okay.
You can't do that yet. Let me get the whole schedule here. What's up?
That I can remember, I think Auburn and Oregon sound like the best game, but I'm not sure if I'm missing any games off the top of my head. But I think they made the right choice.
I mean, your notable, like, big Power 5 matchups that day, that Saturday, 3:30, you have South Carolina versus North Carolina Charlotte. That's nothing worth covering.
No, that doesn't sound too good.
Like I said, Auburn, Oregon that night. Had Georgia at Vanderbilt that night. Again, nothing worth going to. I forgot this happens. Missouri kicks off their season at Wyoming.
At Wyoming?
They will be at Wyoming in Laramie at War Memorial Stadium. That's one hell of a place to kick off your season. Man, I'm looking on the Saturday matchups. That is the best matchup. There's nothing that comes close to that matchup.
I mean, looking through this, Clemson and Georgia Tech not really sounding too good. BYU and Utah, it's a rivalry game, but it's week zero, so it won't count. I'm not seeing anything else. Boise State and I think Florida State. Yeah, Boise State and Florida State, neutral site game, doesn't excite me. So I think Auburn and Oregon is definitely the best game out of all of them.
You got plenty of games on that first Thursday on August 29th. Listen to these. These are all very intriguing. UCLA at Cincinnati at 7 o'clock. I mean, these are all like your good primetime matchups. You're going to have, you already mentioned Georgia Tech at Clemson. Clemson should wipe the floor with them.
Mm-hmm.
How about your nightcap this one? You got the Holy War. You got Utah at BYU.
I'm very intrigued for that game.
Yeah, we get the scout BYU, absolutely.
And it's just early football in general, too.
And those two, they hate each other.
Which is surprising for Mormons.
It is like deep-seated hate between those two teams. Because, you know, BYU, the Mormon school, and Utah's a secular public mm-hmm. university, even though there's plenty of Mormons in the Utah fan base. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how the state is. I'm not trying to stereotype. That's just what the fact is. Oh, but they hate each other. Friday's going to be good. You have a traditional rivalry game at 10 o'clock ESPN, Colorado State against Colorado in Denver. Purdue at Nevada. That's weird. Oh, I'd be somewhat intrigued. Wisconsin at South Florida. Wisconsin going to take on Charlie Strong? Oh, okay. You've got me sold.
I'm a little confused on why all these Power 5 teams are going to USF, to Wyoming.
I've never understood it. I've really never understood it. It's one of those things you have such a low reward, high risk scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I told you about Missouri going to Wyoming. So, well, let me tell you something about the year you were born.
In 2002?
The 2002 season. So Tennessee opened that season playing Wyoming, actually, but they played them in Nashville.
Okay.
Tennessee was supposed to go to Wyoming, but the Tennessee Athletic Department, they bought out that location. They gave Wyoming like a few million dollars to help renovate their field. In exchange, they played the game in Nashville.
In exchange to play a neutral site game?
Yes. Well, which was really not a neutral site game because they played in Nashville.
Yeah. Was Wyoming like on a rise or had a program resurgence?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. It was, I guess they had signed a home-and-home matchup because the first game in the 99 season as the defending national champions, it was against Wyoming at home. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing it was a home-and-home thing they signed.
Okay.
But maybe Philip Fulmer and rest of Tennessee. Doug Dickey was still the athletic director at that time. Maybe they realized that, you know what, we have nothing to gain by going to Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah.
There's no recruiting base out in Wyoming. There's nothing to gain from it. Maybe that's the reason Wisconsin's going to South Florida, because it is Florida.
There is a lot of prospects there, but I don't know if any prospects would be going to a South Florida game.
Well, it's to get eyes on the program.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's Wisconsin. I don't know what Missouri's gaining by going to Wyoming. Maybe it's like less money for the school to do the home and home versus, you know, having them come to your stadium again.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure about that. Also, at 10:30. Oh, you got your first real dose of Pac-12 After Dark.
My favorite football.
Oklahoma State, Oregon State.
That doesn't sound like a terrible game either. I mean,
Oklahoma State should win that by like multiple touchdowns. Oregon State's terrible. I think they went 2-10 last year.
Dang.
It might be, and who knows? There might be an upset brewing.
I mean, I'm not predicting an upset. Oklahoma State should wipe the floor with them, like you said, but I don't know.
Or is your first taste of Pac-12 After Dark actually week zero? You do have Arizona at Hawaii. I don't know. When you go to Hawaii, I think that's a different kind of after dark football. It's different kind of after dark because it's not dark out there.
Nah. It's like when the Pro Bowl was always played in Hawaii and it would be 9 o'clock and dark and it's light while they're still playing.
Man, I'm so excited for this week one. And, of course, you know, week one, it's always going to be the best week of college football. Mm-hmm. Just because from the time you have Thursday night, you have football constantly until Labor Day evening.
I like that.
Your Sunday game. You got Houston at Oklahoma.
It's not a terrible matchup.
At Oklahoma.
Oklahoma will most likely destroy them, but not a terrible matchup.
Oklahoma probably wants a revenge for Houston beating them in a week one game just a few years ago. And then your Labor Day matchup, Notre Dame at Louisville.
Doesn't sound like a terrible game either.
Mm-mm. Notre Dame should easily win.
Yes.
But, man, it's coming, though.
I'm excited, dude.
How can you not? that first weekend, we're going to have so much to talk about. I forgot. I had to look up and remember who Louisville hired because they thought they were going to get Jeff Brohm so easily. Yeah, they had to end up hiring Scott Satterfield from Appalachian State.
The coach, was he there when they gave Tennessee a scare?
Yeah, it was him. He's not a bad coach. I just had to remember who Louisville hired. Because I was going to say, yeah, this is game one of the something era. Not sure. But, yeah, that's you'll have College Game Day on your TV that Saturday. Auburn and Oregon. Let's give you an update on the Open. Tiger missed the cut. After just a rough as hell opening round. What did he shoot, 78?
Did you see where his quote said, "I just want to go home"?
That's the headline. ESPN Tiger says, "I just want to go home after missing cut." He's going to go back home to Jupiter, Florida, going to relax. And that's just reality with Tiger, man. It's just reality. He's old. He's beat up. And he's just going to have to manage his health more now.
Yeah.
He's definitely not done, obviously. He won the Masters this year. But if you thought him winning the Masters back in April was going to be the resurgence of the Tiger we saw from the early to mid-2000s, nah.
Did you see where Max Kellerman thinks he's going to win two more majors, though?
I could definitely see it. He's got plenty more golf left in him. If he can win the Masters this year with that competitive of a field after being all through what he's been through, he should easily bounce back next year and at least win one.
Yeah.
Do you think he wins a major next year?
I'm not a huge golf guy. I like watching the Masters. I'll turn on, flip through channels of golf every now and then. So I don't have like a critiquing opinion or maybe a valid opinion, but I mean, I can see it.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Tiger being good is good for golf.
Of course.
Because you saw how hard the PGA, you saw how hard they struggled when Tiger was in his slump at the start of the decade. They wanted so desperately for golf to have that next big star, to have that next Tiger, someone who would capture the imagination of the youth, who they could sell as like their big star. They thought they had it with Rory. you thought you might have had it with Jordan Spieth. You just can't be Tiger, man. There's no one like him.
I mean, it might be Brooks Koepka. I don't know if they like marketing him because he talks about how he doesn't practice and doesn't really care or try, but, I mean, I'm a giant Brooks Koepka fan.
He can't be Tiger, though.
You're right.
He just can't. And there's marketable golf guys. I see, why am I blanking right now? Oklahoma State, hair, orange. Oh, Lord. Why am I blanking so bad?
Oklahoma State hair orange?
No. He wears the orange on Sunday. He went to Oklahoma State. Why am I blanking on his name? This is Ricky Fowler.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Lord, I'm like, oh, that's very embarrassing. Yeah, Ricky Fowler is in like several commercials. I see him in commercials all the time. He's marketable, but he doesn't win majors.
Mm-mm.
You just need that combination. You just don't have that yet. Here's your leaderboard update though from the Open. Out there in at the Royal Portrush Golf Club in Portrush, Northern Ireland. Right now you have a two-way tie for first after two rounds, both at 8-under here. You got J.B. Holmes, the American, tied with the Irishman Shane Lowry. Right behind him you got two Englishmen, Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood. Other notable names, your guy Brooks Koepka. He's 3 strokes off the lead at 5-under, tied for 8th with Jordan Spieth. Other names here, Patrick Reed, he's at 4-under. Matt Kuchar's at 4-under. DJ Dustin Johnson's at 3-under. Mentioned Ricky Fowler, he's at 3-under as well. Justin Thomas is at 1-under. Yeah, that's pretty much that. Should be a competitive tournament going into the weekend, though. I'll try to catch as much as I can. I'll probably only watch Sunday. I'll just conveniently forget to watch it tomorrow. I think that's what's going to happen. But yeah, man, poor Tiger. He had a bounce back day, but it wasn't enough to make the cut though. So go home, rest up, man. Come back strong next year, Eldrick. He ain't got much more to prove though. But I just hate to see him like this. I would have liked to see him at least in contention going into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes when he's in his 40s like this and he has all his problems. So. Yeah, it is what it is. You have to take it like it is with him being at this age. We're going to hit another break here. First break of hour number 2. When we come back, Will's going to play Fake News Friday for the first time. It's our Friday tradition. We're going to check his journalistic integrity here. Right on the other side. It's Fake News Friday with Will playing. When we come back, you're listening to Overtime. Keep it here on Fan Run Radio. We are back here on Overtime. This is really fun. I've been looking forward to this. Will Stevens, intern Will, is going to play Fake News Friday for the first time. It's our weekly tradition here to end the week. I always like to say on Fridays, let's get weird. So get a little weird on Fridays with the Fake News Friday. So, Will, have you listened in on Fake News Friday before?
I feel like I've listened in a couple of times or, like, come in the middle of it, but I've never, like, listened all the way through. Not trying to be offensive or anything to you, sorry.
No,
I have listened to the show a lot, though.
You're
but
fine.
But no, I've never listened all the way through the Fake News Friday that I can remember.
It's a simple game. So I got 3 headlines here. They could be real stories. They could be fake news. And I just read the headline off to you. You tell me if it's real or fake. If it's real, well, we read the story. And it's simple as that. So are you ready, sir?
I think I'm ready.
All right, let's go ahead and play the music. It's time to play Fake News Friday.
Good news, everyone.
Can you give us a question?
Oh, yeah, you like that?
I like this a lot.
I didn't make it, if you're wondering. I just found it on YouTube one day. All right, it's time for headline number 1. This headline reads, Iowa official ousted after singing Tupac Shakur's praises to coworkers.
That's fake.
Is real news. It is real news. We go to Iowa City, Iowa. The director of Iowa Social Services Agency was a huge fan of the late rapper Tupac Shakur, and he frequently let his subordinates know it. Emails obtained by the AP show that Iowa Department of Human Services Director Jerry Foxhoven routinely sent messages to employees lauding Shakur's music and lyrics even after at least one complaint to lawmakers. Then last month, he sent another such email to all 4,300 agency employees. He was abruptly ousted from his job the next workday. Foxhoven, who is 66, he told employees that he had been a huge fan of the hip-hop artist for years. He hosted weekly Tupac Fridays to play his music in the office. He traded lyrics with employees, and he marked his own 65th birthday with Shakur-themed cookies, including ones decorated with the words, Thug Life. Oh! The agency released 350 pages of emails with the words Tupac, or Tupac with the number 2, sent to and from Foxhoven during his 2-year tenure in response to an AP request. They show that Foxhoven marked the anniversary of Shakur's death, shared one of his lyrics about love on Valentine's Day, and used the rapper's image to try to improve the agency's culture. He told colleagues he was inspired by lyrics that included, "It's time for us as a people to start making some changes."
Dang.
Got fired for liking Tupac. What?
I mean, I think like is maybe a little bit of an understatement, but dang.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm trying to read more about this. It says a spokesman for the governor wouldn't confirm or deny that Foxhoven's email figured into her surprise request for his resignation. What? Interesting. Says it remains a mystery.
Hmm.
Why he got forced to go out. Maybe this is just a coincidence. Do you really think sharing Tupac lyrics is I don't think that's cause for termination.
Maybe the rest of the office was big Biggie fans and they just couldn't stand it anymore.
That's true.
Maybe too much of a feud?
Maybe that's true. I mean, I don't know where Iowa stood in the 90s East-West Coast hip-hop beef.
They're kind of split down the middle.
Kind of are. Yeah, he just gone. It says that Foxhoven's ouster came amid multiple controversies involving his agency. So maybe this is just a coincidence. It has nearly a $7 billion annual budget. Some controversies included difficult contract negotiations with managed care companies that run the Medicaid program, a trial detailing alleged mistreatment of boys at a state juvenile home, and an uptick in deaths at a center for the disabled. Still, his job had appeared not to be in danger. This is something. I've seen people on Twitter like be, you know, really supportive. Like, man, he didn't do nothing wrong. He just liked Tupac. But he's definitely not a guy you would think on the surface would be huge into Tupac.
Yeah.
But no. I guess that's why you say you never judge a book by its cover.
When you read his name and age...
66-year-old Jerry Foxhoven of Iowa.
Did not think he was going to be a Tupac fan.
Ate Thug Life cookies. Hey, best of luck, Jerry. Best of luck to you. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Next headline, though. All right. Second headline. It reads, Weather Channel correspondent paddling a boat through melted sidewalk to show off extent of heat wave.
No, that's got to be fake.
Yeah, it's fake. Okay. It's from The Onion. Good on you for catching that obvious one. Last headline here. Steve-O of Jackass fame, he has a new series called Celebrities I Did Cocaine With.
I want to say that's real because that sounds like something Steve-O would do, but I also kind of love Jackass, and so I feel like I would have seen this on Twitter or something, so I'm going to say it's fake.
It's real.
God.
It's real, Will. It is a new series.
I mean, I'm not that mad. That sounds cool.
It's on YouTube. It's called Celebs I Did Coke With. It's a 5.5-minute video. Let's see. Who did he say he did coke with? It says the people he implicated in the stories include Kid Rock, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. Yeah.
Those sound like good names.
He 100% did coke with all three of them. And sure enough, I'm looking at this article here. There are sure enough pictures of Steve-O with all three of them. Separate pitchers, but pitchers nonetheless. Who else did he say? That looks like it's it. But yeah, I really am interested in looking at this video.
I'm intrigued now.
It's very informative. Steve-O, celebrities I did cocaine with. Okay. As long as he's not currently doing the coke, he's clean, right? He's completely sober.
I think he got sober.
I know he's like all like sober, like vegan dude now, which is fine and dandy, but it's a far cry from the Steve-O of the glory days of Jackass.
Yes.
But he's still doing very Steve-O stuff, like making a series about celebrities he did cocaine with.
Did you see where he did an inflatable, I think it was a killer whale, on the top of a crane one night?
Yeah, he did to protest SeaWorld.
It was probably one of my favorite videos I saw on Instagram that day. It was a good one.
Hey, shout out to Steve-O, man. Still fighting for what he believes in. I mean, that's a noble cause. SeaWorld, I mean, I'm not like a PETA member. I'm not an animal rights activist, but SeaWorld has been proven to mistreat its animals.
Yeah.
So, hell yeah, Steve-O. Just don't do any more coke, please. That's all we ask of you. We got to take another break here because we got another game coming up after this. You know what we do at 7:30. It's time for the birthday game. This is going to be different. Will's not competing with anybody, so we're just going to test his birthday knowledge. So, you did good. You're okay with your journalistic integrity so far. We will see about the birthday knowledge as well. So we got that coming up on the other side. 865-546-8200 again on the Nextdoor Home Network Hotline. We'll play birthdays on overtime when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Knoxville.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
We have got the birthday game here on overtime, trying to test Will's birthday knowledge since there is no Julia here today. It's fine and dandy, though. Going to test Will's useless knowledge here. Got 11 birthdays in total. We got 5 from today, 6 for tomorrow. So, how do you think you're going to do just by yourself, Will? I think the pressure's... Do you think there's more pressure on you that you're playing by yourself or pressure's taken off that you're not competing against Julia?
Ooh, that is a really good question. I think there's a little bit more pressure because of the way I've performed already. I haven't done too hot. And so if I just don't get names flat out, I feel like it might make me look a little dumber. And then instead of going up against somebody and just I can use the excuse, oh, they got it before me type of deal.
I think it'll be fine, though. I think it'll be fine. Before we get into the game, though, I want to tell you about Eli Corum in the Nextdoor Home Group with Keller Williams Realty, the proud sponsors of the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. Eli Corum's team is in the top 5% of realtors in the Knoxville market, and they have been for the past 4 years. A very straightforward team that gets the job done with money left in your pocket, and which leaves you with a fun, stress-free buying or selling experience. Eli Corum has a top-notch team with the most effective marketing programs in the real estate industry, and they also have negotiation and customer service skills that are unmatched in the real estate market. To give them a call, they are 865-233-9461, 865-233-9461, or visit them online at nextdoorhomes.com. Eli Corum in the Nextdoor Home Group with Keller Williams. No gimmicks, just results. All right, let's get into it here, Will. Start off with today's birthdays. He is 31 years old today. He is an American internet personality. He's a YouTuber. He was one of the first people to rise to fame on YouTube.
Is it Shane Dawson?
It is Shane Dawson. He is, in the world of YouTube, a lot of people don't have longevity.
No, he's made a career out of it.
He has definitely made a career out of it. He has stayed relevant. Currently, right now, almost 22 million subscribers.
Impressive.
So, very good. This is as of last month, 31 years old.
Wow. I'm not going to lie to you. I saw him on my trending board, and as soon as you said YouTuber, I was like, okay, he's probably trending for that reason.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. That's all fair. That is all fair. Next birthday today, he is 32 years old. He is an American MMA fighter. Fights in the UFC. He's widely regarded as one of the greatest fighters of all time. He's the current and two-time undisputed UFC light heavyweight champion. He's also known for suspensions when it comes to drug use.
John Jones?
It is John Bones Jones.
Bones Jones. My apologies.
Well, you got it right, John Jones. Yeah, it's fine, though. Yeah. Love Bones. Just hope he just keeps staying clean.
Yeah.
Because Bones is so fun to watch fight. All right, you're 2-for-2 so far, Will. He is 34 today. He is an NBA player. I'll tell you, he played basketball for Rick Barnes when he was at Texas.
Is it KD?
It is not KD.
Okay.
He is a power forward who plays for the Spurs.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
It is LaMarcus Aldridge. You are 3-for-3, sir.
It's a lot of young guys.
You are doing fantastic thus far. I don't know if you'll get this one or not. We shall see, because he is 72 years old today.
Ooh.
He is an English musician. He is a founding member and the guitarist of Queen. He's got the big curly hair. Did you watch Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie?
I did not. I feel bad because I really like Queen, and I'm just blanking.
You don't know?
No.
Brian May.
Okay.
Brian May. That's okay. You're 3-for-4. You're still doing
75%.
Good. 75%. Still doing good. Last birthday today, I would think you would get this one. 43 years old today. He is an English actor. He's been on TV and film. Recently, he's rose to fame as an A-list movie actor. He has been in movies such as, let me get it up here, the Hobbit film series. He's also in the Marvel Cinematic Universe playing as Dr. Stephen Strange.
Oh, shoot. I don't know his name.
The guy's face?
Yeah. I mean, I know who you're talking about. Can you give me initials so I can
BC.
Guess? Before Christ.
No. Unfortunately.
Oh. No.
Come on. Give me 5 seconds. And Benedict Cumberbatch.
As soon as you say that, I know exactly who you're talking about.
A very English name. Benedict Cumberbatch.
That's more English than that LSU center.
Oh, I have to look up his name. It was a Lloyd something. I have to look it up. All right, 3-for-5. You're still batting over 50%.
60% right now.
So you're still doing good. All right, let's move on to tomorrow's birthdays. First up, he will be 23 years old tomorrow. He is an NBA player. He's Australian. Plays for the Sixers.
Oh, Luka.
No.
Oh, Ben Simmons.
Yes, Ben Simmons. Wow. You thought Luka was Australian?
I blanked, and then you said 23, and then all I heard, instead of Australian, I just kind of heard a foreign country and just kind of guessed.
Australia's Ben Simmons, the man who does not take three-pointers. All right, 4-for-6. You're doing good. You're back to doing good. He'll be 44 tomorrow. Also an NBA player. He's a former player, though. Regarded as one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's a two-time NBA champion. He played his college basketball at UConn.
Ray Allen.
Is Jesus Shuttlesworth. Absolutely. All right, you're doing good again. 5-for-7. She'll be 39 tomorrow. She's a Brazilian supermodel. He's married to Tom Brady.
Giselle?
I need the last name.
Brady?
No.
Because I don't know her actual last name.
Her actual last name does start with the B. She still goes by it. I think she's technically a Brady. I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you.
Giselle Bündchen.
Yeah, no, I would not have gotten
that. Or Bündchen. I think it's Bündchen, I think. I'll give it to you anyway. You're doing good. You're doing good. I don't think at this point you can lose.
6-for-8?
I think you're all right.
Yes.
Because we got 1, 2, 3. We got 3 left. This one might get you, though. Another old musician, just like Brian May. He'll be 72 tomorrow, just like Brian May is today. He's a Mexican-American guitarist. Rose to fame in the 60s and 70s with the band that bears his name. He's known, like I said, 60s and 70s, he rose to fame. But in the early 2000s, he got back mainstream attention again for the song Smooth.
Is it Carlos Santana?
It is Carlos Santana. Smooth with Rob Thomas. Yes.
That's a good, that's a really good song.
Love Smooth. Love Santana. Hell yeah, Will. Good on you for getting Santana.
Thank you.
Love it. All right, let's see if you can go two for two of these next two. He would have been 61 tomorrow. RIP to this person. He passed away in 2009 from a heart attack. He was an American television direct response advertisement salesperson.
Billy Mays.
It's the great Billy Mays. But wait, there's more. RIP to Billy Mays.
To a legend.
He was right in the middle of doing that show, too. He was doing Anthony Sullivan. They were filming that show, and he just dies right in the middle of it at the age of 50. OxyClean, never the same. What's some other stuff he did? A Kaboom, Zorbies.
He was in South Park.
Oh, yeah, he was. I'll always remember OxyClean, though. RIP to the legend. Passed away in June 2009. It's already been 10 years. Such a sad day. All right, Will. We'll see if you get this last one here. You've done fantastic.
8 for 10, right?
Yes.
Yes.
We'll see if you can get this last one. She will be 48 years old tomorrow. She's a Canadian-American actress. She is best known for her roles as Christina Yang on Grey's Anatomy. That's really it. She was also in a BBC America spy thriller, Killing Eve.
I mean, I have a face.
Yeah.
Can you give me initials?
S.O.
Sue?
No. Fine. Sandra O.
Would not have gotten that.
You went 8 for 12, though. You did, hey, I'm going to give you a little round of applause here.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a little round of applause. You did good.
I appreciate it.
Put you through the gauntlet a little bit. 11 birthdays. You ended up getting, 11. 8 of 11. 8 of 11. Yeah, you did fantastic.
Thank you.
You did fantastic. Not bad for your first time going through the gauntlet solo here. We got to hit the last break of the program. 865-546-8200. We'll come back to wrap up your week here on Overtime. Once again, 865-546-8200 to get on the Next Door Home Network hotline. Back to finish Overtime for the week when we come back. Okay, Will, this is the last segment for the show. You tell me which way we want to go here, because I got two articles I can dive in here.
All right, it's a little choose-your-own-adventure.
Got two I can dive into the end of the week, and I'll throw a wild card. I got two that are football-related, and let me try to find a wild card here. I'll definitely find one. Let me tell you the two, though.
Okay.
So I can either talk about new NFL future power rankings. Actually, wait. Is this what you... No, this is something we were already talking about. What's the thing you told me earlier there was a new...
They ranked the 2019 rosters for each NFL team, all 32.
Okay.
I just don't have ESPN Plus, so I think I sent you the right article. Or did I...
I should be able to find it either way. I can go to that, or Jim Harbaugh is hinting that Michigan could be playing football on foreign soil pretty soon. And it may be Mexico. Or I could try to find a wild card.
That Jim Harbaugh story sounds interesting because I haven't heard about it yet.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that. So Jim Harbaugh, he might have accidentally revealed that Michigan will be playing a football game in a different country sometime in the near future. So this is at Big Ten Media Days this week. And he might have accidentally... revealed a little earlier than expected that not only would Michigan be playing a game in a different country, that it could be Mexico. He said, sure. He was asked if he would be interested in a future game in Mexico City. So he was asked that directly. He said, sure, we like to travel. Mexico City would be great. I know you can talk about this. We're scheduling. I think we're really close to announcing actually playing another team on foreign soil. I won't say what it is because have you heard anything about this? Then I'd better not say it because we're probably not ready to release that yet. But I think there's something really imminent. There will be an announcement soon on that. So that's about it. But it sounds like from his response saying, yeah, Mexico City would be really cool, It sounds like they're going to do the NFL route, what the NFL's been doing with their Mexico games. Sounds like college football is going to be sent down there. Probably Azteca, right in the middle of Mexico City. Good or bad idea to play football in Mexico City? Because Michigan would not be the first college football team to play in a different country. Notre Dame's done it pretty recently. They had a game in Ireland that they played. So you already have the precedent for playing football over in Europe. Mexico would be new. That would definitely be a new avenue. Good or bad idea for Michigan to be wanting to play a game in Mexico City? And if this was Tennessee, would you want Tennessee to play a game in a different country?
I'm going to say bad idea. I'm kind of strongly against this, because when the NFL does it, it's to kind of try to hint at maybe expanding teams and expanding the league further than we've seen it before. I just don't understand. You can't expand colleges that are associated with America and the United States to other countries. I can understand when Notre Dame did it, because they're the Fighting Irish, so they went to Ireland, and it was kind of like this more of just for money kind of thing. And so that made sense, and it kind of pieced all together. But Michigan going to Mexico City to play another Power 5 school, I mean, I'm not going to, like, I don't think anybody's really going to travel out there. I'm going to watch the game on my TV regardless of where it is, but I don't think it's a great idea, because there's no real rhyme or reason to it other than the fact that it's just for money reasons. And if Tennessee played in Mexico City, I mean, I wouldn't be too terribly against it, just because I would be watching the game on my TV either way, so it wouldn't affect me. But the way it would affect our players, I have no idea the exact science behind it, but I know I remember when they were taking or planning on taking the Chiefs-Rams game to Mexico City, there was a lot of talk of how the air density was going to affect the players and other things of that nature.
I mean, it would be different. I mean, Harbaugh, I mean, he's taken his team on off-season trips to different countries. They went to France. After a 2018 season, they went to South Africa. You know, this isn't new, taking your team on like trips, but playing game is a different story.
Yeah.
Sure enough, with the NFL having games down there, I mean, there's an audience for it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's probably more of an audience for football in Mexico than there is over in the UK.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely.
I can see there being more of an audience. College football is a little different, though. For Mexico, I think it made more sense to have your professional teams. I don't know if college football has followed that much in Mexico.
No, it's like,
I would say I doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, college football is more of where you're from, and that's the team you like. Now, there's some exceptions of people moving and like liking the team from, again, where they're from, or bandwagons, but bandwagons are all over the place. But college sports are normally where you're located. You like the school you're basically closest to. But pro teams aren't necessarily the same way. Some people just, if their dad likes a team, they'll choose that team. Or sometimes they just pick a random team. Like, I picked the Nets when I was like 11, and they sucked. And now we got Kyrie and KD.
Now you have a good return on
it. You can't really complain. But like, you just pick and choose. So again, pros I can understand. Like, I'm a Titans fan because I'm from Tennessee. But a kid like in Virginia who doesn't have a team could either pick the Redskins or he could pick someone else. And so I can understand the pick and choosing method of it, but no one's really paying attention to college sports unless it's in their own backyard.
I've got you a history of college football games played outside the U.S. There's actually a lot more than you think.
Oh, really?
The first college football game played outside the U.S. was actually in 1874. Harvard played McGill University in Montreal.
Huh.
One of the most recent ones, obviously, the Notre Dame game in Dublin. They played Navy in 2012. How about this? There used to be a bowl game in Cuba.
Really?
Pre-revolutionary Cuba, of course. This is pre-Castro. It was called the Bacardi Bowl. After Bacardi rum, of course. They play it in Havana. So it's got an interesting history. There used to be a game played in Tokyo. Like every year in the 70s, it was called the Coca-Cola Classic.
Huh.
Just like back in the day. It says since 1977, regular season games have been played in Australia. They did have that game in Australia a few years ago. What was it? It was Hawaii and Cal, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it might have been 2016 season. I think it might have been Hawaii.
That sounds right.
There's been games played in Bermuda, Germany, Ireland, Italy, and the UK.
And of course,
you also had the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl.
Yes. I did not know any of those. I mean, I knew a couple of those here and there, but I didn't know a lot of those, especially the Tokyo one.
So all these 1800s, every game was like played in Canada. And it was like most of them involved Harvard. Oh, one of them did involve Michigan, so Michigan has a history of this. there's a bunch of games that played in Cuba. It's Cuba, Canada so far. Ooh, how about this? In the 1976, this is completely random. I don't know if this counted. But I guess it did. In June of 1976, Texas A&I in Henderson State played three games in West Germany in June of 1976.
So they played three games in 1 month in West Germany?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, they actually played five games.
Jeez.
Okay, interesting. There were multiple games played in Japan, Coca-Cola Classic. Teams like BYU and UNLV played. Notre Dame played Miami in 1979.
It's a big
Clemson
game.
Played Wake Forest in 1982. What the hell? You had Wyoming played UTEP in Australia in 1985. Here's the game in the United Kingdom. Richmond played Boston University in London in 1988.
Wow. What do you think made them get away from it?
I don't know. How about this? There's a game played in China in 1991 between Pacific Lutheran and Evangel. What? This is fantastic. Georgetown played Washington and Lee in Bermuda in 1993. Real quick, before we end the show, where would you like to see Tennessee play a game in a different country if we had to?
Russia. I just feel like that would be really funny.
Russia it is. That does it for Overtime this week. For Will Stevens, I'm Tara Carson. We will be back again Monday. You all have a great weekend, and we will see you with more Overtime next week.